And with open hearts to receive the message that I feel God has laid upon me to present this morning. I want to welcome each and everyone here this morning. And if there are guests in our midst, to you, I want to extend a special welcome. It is always a blessing to have guests worshiping with us. For opening scripture, I want to read 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. Now that he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed grown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now, who is the one that gives the seed for seeding? He also is the one that gives the bread for our food. He also will give the increase in the seed sown. And it says, increase the fruits of your righteousness. It sounds like Paul is talking about gardening or seeding the fields. But I believe it has just as much or more to do, or perhaps everything to do with spiritual seed and spiritual food than with gardening or agriculture. Though the same thing could also apply to agriculture. Now my question is, what do we do with the seed that we receive? Do we sow it, or do we just let it lie? Now he that gave us the seed never meant it to be just lying dormant. This was meant for spiritual increase for each and every one of us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have come before your throne of grace again this morning. I want to thank you for this opportunity to worship you together. And we want to thank you for the wonderful day, the nice and bright, warm weather that you've sent us today, that you have blessed us with. We also thank you for the wonderful many rains we have been receiving. We want to thank for this building where we can come to worship and share the gospel. Lord, we want to thank you for the many blessings that you provide us with. We thank you that you were willing to come from your home in heaven to show us the way and give the supreme sacrifice to pay for our sins. And Lord, we thank you for being here this morning through your Holy Spirit. I thank you for everyone that has come to worship you and sing your praises, and that you would open all of our hearts to receive the word. And I pray that I would be open to your Spirit's leading, and that the spoken word may be your message, Lord. And Lord, I pray for the Sunday school students and teachers that you want to bless their fellowship. Lord, I pray for the ones that would like to be here in your house of prayer this morning, but could not be due to circumstances. And I pray for the ones that have no desire to hear your word, because they know that the word would convict them, that you would touch them in a special way so that they could turn their life around, so they too could be pulled into your house. Now, Lord, I want to commit this service to you. And may you bind Satan that he has no power in this building this morning. I pray that you might give the blessing to everyone that has gone out to preach the message of salvation this morning. I pray that you would give the increase to the word spoken. I praise this in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. Today's message I have titled, The Importance of God's Word, and how we prepare ourselves for it. Because I believe when we go to church service or go and listen to a sermon somewhere, we need to prepare our hearts, truly need to prepare ourselves to receive the word so it can take fruit. So there's something here that we have to understand. And that is, if our heart is not both prepared and receptive, and in fact, I would say looking forward and to be excited to hear the word of God, than this parable that Jesus tells us in today's gospel reading will in fact come true. He will in fact have proven his point that there are various types of soils. There are various types of hearers. Some people receive the word very joyfully. Some people are like the hard ground, kind of hard-headed, stubborn, arrogant. They might even show up to hear it, but they're not really interested in it. Others might be choked by the cares and the riches of the world, where you can hear it joyfully, but it dies very quickly. Others might sort of see it in a sort of shallow way, not wanting the roots to take depth, and that also dies very quickly. Today, there are many churches, many church services, and yet if we look around, we must wonder how many of the good seeds sown have had an opportunity to sprout within our hearts. There are so many things that the Bible warns us against, and yet it seems as if people keep doing the very thing the Bible talks against. Do we just not understand what the Bible is teaching us or trying to teach us? I believe if we were to understand the Bible better, then many of us would behave in a totally different manner than what we often do. Or does the seed just fall by the wayside instead of on good ground? I want to read from Luke chapter 8, where it talks about sowing the spiritual seed, starting verse 5. That's Luke chapter 8, where it says as follows, "And a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it." By the way, this was a parable that Jesus was talking about here. This is the words of Jesus. "And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit, 100-fold. And when Jesus had said this, he said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And then Jesus explained this parable like this, starting in verse 11. By the way, there's many parables that Jesus has been saying, but not too many that he explained in another way. Now, in verse 11, he says, "Now this parable is this. The seed is the word of God." And then he goes on in verse 12 to say, "Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." We see clearly that the seed is the word of God. Then it talks about those by the wayside, which are the ones that hear the word, but really don't believe. Then Satan quickly comes to take it away, to make sure it won't take root in their hardened hearts, because they really didn't believe to begin with. But now, as it is said, in order for us to believe, we have to hear the word. But here, Jesus, the devil quickly takes it away. Jesus says, the devil takes away the word, lest they should believe and be saved. And that's what the devil doesn't want. He doesn't want the people to be saved. The single and sole condition for receiving eternal life is believing in Jesus Christ for it. In order to believe, the message must first be heard. And before it can be heard, it must be preached. When the message is preached, the people hear, and after they hear, if they believe, they will be saved. And it's not just in church where it's being preached. It's in Sunday school. It's at home from mom and dad, from the parents. We hope the parents are the ones furthering the seed. The whole progression is taught in Romans 10, verse 17, which says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But there, in Luke 8, that process is stalled out in verse 12, when Satan takes away the word. The word is preached, the message is heard, but before it can be believed, Satan snatches the seed away. The first soil represents non-believers. Have you ever witnessed to somebody, and they just don't get it? You explain it over and over, but they just don't understand. Or they keep trying to evade the truth or cloud the water with peripheral issues. One prime example would be when I was growing up in my late teens. I had taken up smoking, cigarette smoking. One day, my mother and myself, we were sitting at the dining room table. She's trying to convince me to stop that before I got really addicted to it. And what did I do? I didn't understand why she wanted me to quit that. After all, I was not as bad as this other person or that person because they had taken up drinking. They were alcoholics. Now, I wasn't as bad. Wow, did I ever fool myself? And that's how I tried to convince her that this was not as bad, clouding the waters. When the gospel is preached, Satan does his best to keep it from being understood and believed. He snatches it from the heart of the wayside soil before it can take the root in the heart. So the first soil represents those people who do not respond to the word at all. And if they hear it, it goes in one ear and out the other. This most often happens to non-Christians, which is why Christ says they do not believe and so are not saved. But it happens to Christians as well when you tune out during the sermon or refuse to have devotions. It doesn't mean you're not saved, just means the devil is stealing the word from your heart. But don't let him do that any longer. If he doesn't want you to hear it, if you know for certain that you should hear it, for he never wants what is good for you, but only what is bad. But if you have believed in Jesus for eternal life, then you don't have to worry about being the first soil. It is the second and third that should concern you the most. Then in verse 13, we read, "They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away." That is where the second soil is different from the first. The second hears the word and says, yes, this is something what I've been looking for. This is the instruction I need. This is the good news. This is helpful advice. And they begin to do what God's word says. But verse 13 says that because of the rocks in their lives, they develop only little roots and wither away amongst the rocks. And what are the rocks, you might ask? Verse 13 says the rocks are the temptations of life. The rocks described in 1 John verse 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." This second soil represents the life under spiritual pressure. Pressure to sin, especially pressure to stop believing what they initially received with gladness. People face intense spiritual pressure to sin. Sexual pressure is a heavy rock today. So is alcohol. But we are all secure forever. But this does not mean... And drugs is another big boulder. Then there is the pressure to succeed and gain lots of material possessions. The numerous temptations that surround us are the rocks that crowd our spiritual life and our health and growth. Sin is serious. Yes, on the cross, Jesus paid for all our sin, past, present, and future. Yes, in Christ we are secure forever, but this does not mean we should just go sin all we want. Sin and temptation will choke the life out of us. While temptation itself is not a sin, if we knowingly, willingly, and repeatedly put ourselves in tempting situations, it will not be long before we find ourselves sinning and our faith being choked out. Now, when our faith is choked out, then we are no longer in Christ. And if we do not repent, which is unlikely in this case, then we will be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. There are those that believe that once your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you're saved by grace, no matter what you do. But I do not believe that is the case. I believe we can fall off if we don't repent. And that's where repentance comes in, because we still have to believe and not willingly keep falling into sin. Then we go to verse 14, where it says, "And that which fell among the thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life, of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." They're choked out with pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. The first soil were those people who never received the instruction of the word in the first place. They either chose to never hear it, or they heard it and promptly forgot it. The second soil represents those who heard, received the word and initially began to act upon it, but then temptation to sin caused them to go back to their old way of living. This third soil is the most dangerous of all, and in my opinion, the one where most Christians get snared. This third soil is this thorny soil. And according to Jesus, the thorns are the cares, the riches, and pleasures of life. Whereas the second soil was caught up in sin. This first soil is not doing anything sinful. They're just enjoying life, and life is enjoyable, isn't it? God has given us many wonderful blessings to enjoy life with. There's tasty food, beautiful sights to see, wonderful places to see. We go on enjoying unenjoyable outings with friends, spend our days pursuing the many recreational opportunities that surround us, like hiking, hunting, fishing, skiing, shopping, and gardening, and many other things that we might enjoy, going on vacations. And there's so many other things, more than what we could list. These things fight for our time. They are not sinful. God made all these things and gave them to us for our enjoyment. But when they take over our lives and take the place of God in our lives, they are thorns that choke out the word. They stunt the growth of what God wants to see happen in our lives. There are some Christians who act like Christians, talk like Christians, and even behave like them. They don't have any serious evident patterns of sin in their lives. But these true and genuine Christians are so busy with life that they have very little time for the things of God. They're always on some vacation or always have some project going at home. They rarely make it to church Or if they do, they only come on Sunday mornings for the service and don't have any time of personal Bible reading and prayer at home. They want to, but they're just too busy with life. And so what happens? Jesus says they bring forth no fruit to maturity. They are there, but their growth is stunted. They may even produce fruit, but nothing edible, just worthless fruit. I believe a good portion of us would fall into this third soil. If a person is a Christian and they are not even attending church, they are in the second soil. But most church-going Christians fall into the third soil. We go to the church because we know we should. We read the Bible when we can. But for the most part, our lives are consumed with cares, riches, and pleasures of life. We spend our money on ourselves. We use our time in the pursuit of happiness. We spend more time in front of the television or at the lake or on the phone or reading magazines than we do in the Word. Especially on the phone today is a very common thing. You can see when you drive around and there's people walking on the street, almost always sooner or later you'll see somebody having a phone with them, looking at the phone or speaking on the phone instead of having anything to do with the Word. An hour and a half in church on Sunday morning is more than enough for us. The things we spend our time on are not sinful, so we feel they are not harming us. But in reality, they are choking our growth, stunting our development. Recreation and entertainment, rest and relaxations, these are the thorns of life. A little is okay, but they must be in their proper balance. And what is the balance, you might ask? Well, I don't know. I do know that all of us, myself included, are way short of the biblical balance. In the early church, they were meeting every day in people's homes for the apostles' teaching, for fellowship, and for prayer every day, and they produced much fruit. I don't think you can produce fruit on one spiritual meal a week. I think you need to feed on the Word of God every single day. What can you do to move into that direction? How can you get rid of those thorns in your life? First, pray. Just as with the rocky soil, the first step is to pray. Pray about your cares, your riches, and your pleasures. Thank God for them. But ask Him to help you keep them in balance. If you find yourself spending too much time in some morally neutral pleasure, pray about it. Ask God to change you. Why spend an inordinate amount of time watching TV, boating, golfing, fishing, or shopping? If you find you are distracted by various cares, pray about it. And it's something that we get distracted very easily. There are so many things of this world that can distract us. And I think we need to pray more about it and help keep them in check. God wants us to cast our cares upon Him, for He cares for us, according to 1 Peter 5, verse 7. If you find money is distracting you, pray about it. We are all rich in comparison to the majority of this world. If we aren't careful, our riches can distract us and keep us from maximizing our lives with Christ, and eventually we will fall down to the second and perhaps the first soil. And we want to avoid that. We want to make sure that we are rather go to the rich soil, to the good soil. But before we go over to that part, I want to give everyone an opportunity to go on bended knees and pray to Jesus for leading. And pray, please pray in the name of Jesus. For that, whoever's able, please kneel with me for prayer. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us. Amen. Thank you for that wonderful singing. I trust we have all prayed in the name of Jesus, whatever lays on our hearts. And I pray that our wishes, if it's God's will, that he might fulfill them. But now if we go on to Luke 8, chapter 8, verse 15, where it says, "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth good fruit with patience." In order to develop good fruit, it is important that we have patience. This fourth soil is what God wants all of us to become. But none of us becomes this way automatically or instantly. It takes work, and hard work, and patience. Jesus says that the two main ingredients of this kind of soil is that it hears the word and keeps it. First, you need to hear the word. If you're not hearing the word, you will never bear fruit. If you're not feeding daily on Scripture and listening to biblically based sermons as often as you can, and attending Bible studies and then living out what God teaches you from His Word, you will have a difficult time to produce an abundance of fruit. This is why I spend much time studying during the week and preparing to bring a sermon. And why we spend time of our service in teaching the Word. I want you to leave here on Sunday morning having received a good spiritual meal. It's not always possible. It doesn't always happen. I may not have studied hard enough and brought the right thing. But I believe as long as I bring the Word of God, and like I said in the beginning, if we prepared our hearts to be receptive of what God brings and allow God to bring the increase, then we'll have received a good meal. One pastor puts it this way: preaching is one of God's chief means of sowing seed and helping fruit grow. It is a way of watering and fertilizing the crop. But you must break up the hard clods that have formed in your soul over the week. Turn under the weeds and prepare the good soil to receive the good seed. That's for all of us to do. When we come to Sunday morning church service, we need to break up the hard clods that have formed over the week and prepare to receive the seed. Of course, having heard the word, you must then keep it. You must obey what it says in order to produce the fruit. The first soil produces a crop that is 100 times more abundant than what was sown. Do you want to be effective in your service for God? Do you want to hear Jesus say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? And if so, you must hear the word as much as possible and keep it to the best of your ability. Read, study, and meditate on the scripture every day. And make sure you get as much good, solid, biblical teaching as you can during the week. The kind of Christian which pleases the heart of God is not one which makes a dramatic start and then dies out, nor one whose commitment to Christ is slowly choked out by worldly desires. The kind of Christian which pleases God is that one which thoughtfully hears the gospel, understands its implications, and then consistently grows and matures, and which bears fruit as a result. This parable describes four soils. They represent all of those who heard the word of God. The first soil immediately rejected it. The second soil quickly accepted it, but soon fell back into old patterns of sin. The third soil grew, but the pleasures of life stunted their fruitfulness. It is only the fourth soil that bore much fruit. All of you are one of these four soils. Where on the field of life are you? If you fear you're not the fourth soil, take heart. The Word of God instructs you how to become the fourth soil. To move past the first soil, you must believe in Jesus for eternal life. And believe that God's word contains instructions for life and godliness. To move past the second soil, you must get rid of the besetting sins that wither away your spiritual vitality. And then, to move past the third soil, you must exchange physical and worldly pursuits for spiritual. Only then will you become the fertile, able to produce much fruit. And with much prayer, that is achievable. And why not get a friend to help you with this? If we want to bear spiritual fruit, we are to do God's will above all else. God has taught us who desire to bear more fruit and pray earnestly for it, that we can produce more abundant fruit when our nature is changed, so that we will become worthy in God's eyes. Remembering this, let's find out more about the secret of bearing much fruit. Through the parable of the vine, Jesus taught us the secret of bearing fruit. He told us that we could bear much fruit by remaining in God. And for that, we need to go to St. John chapter 15, verse 1 to 8. There we'll find some more directive in how to bear much fruit. That was St. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. Here Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Everything has to go through Jesus. If we want to believe, and if we want to go to heaven, there's only one path, only one way to come to heaven, and that is by Jesus. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Every branch that's calling itself to be part of Jesus but doesn't bear fruit, the husbandman, which is God, will take away. What's the point in feeding this if he's not doing anything? Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. If we don't abide in Jesus, we cannot bear fruit. And if we abide in Jesus, Jesus will abide in us. He will be in us. He will work in us. And we cannot produce any fruit unless we are within. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. This is something we need to remember. Without Jesus, there's nothing we can do. We have to have Jesus in our hearts. We have to believe in him. Because he could take our breath away just like that in an instant. He could take everything away from us, and we can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. This is not where we want to go. We don't want to be taken off of Jesus, the branch of Jesus, and thrown into the pit of fire. Because that's what it tells us. And they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And we got to remember, that's not whatever our worldly will is, whatever our worldly desire is when we read this verse. It's been pointed out to me in the past. It's where it says, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. People have asked for things, but they didn't get it. But we still have to let God lead us. And we will only pray what is in his will. And then it says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. I believe that's all our desires, to be disciples of Jesus instead of wandering on our own. Bringing much fruit is a beautiful thing in God's eyes. God is glorified when we bear much fruit. Just as Jesus said, we must make effort to preach the gospel to all people, including our children and children's children, to neighbors, co-worker, or friend, or whoever we meet. But if we do not resemble Christ, like in our nature, but still remain worldly, people will not graciously respond to the gospel which we preach to them. Yes, if we want to go and preach the gospel to somebody, we must, we absolutely must present ourselves Christ-like. Because otherwise, people will definitely not respond to us in a positive way. Now, we should prepare ourselves as the branches that can bear much fruit in God's eyes. Let's think about patience. One of the qualities we are to have. We have to have good patience in order to make this work. Good fruits can be brought forth by patience. After sowing a seed, a farmer must patiently wait until it brings forth fruit. Without persevering, he cannot obtain no fruit. Just as the farmer has to wait for the seeds to sprout and to blossom and bear fruit, so we must be patient. Chapter 10, verse 36 tells us that we are in need of patience, where it says that after ye have done the will of God, that ye might receive the promise. And the promise is, which says, eternal life, according to John, 1 John 2, verse 25. Especially for fathers, it is important that you help spread the seed. I came upon a reading recently. I forget who was the writer of this original poem. But here it says, here's the sad confession of one father. He says, I took my children to school, but not to church. I taught them to drink, but not of the living water. I rolled them in Little League, but not Sunday school. I showed them how to fish, but not to be fisher of men. I made the Lord's Day a holy day rather than a holiday. I taught them the church was full of hypocrites and made a greater hypocrite of them and me. I gave them a color TV but provided no Bible. I handed them the keys to the car, but did not give to them the keys of the kingdom of God. I taught them how to make a living, but failed to bring them to Christ, who alone can make a life. Brothers and sisters, you need to thank your Father for the faithful instructions he gave you in life, for all the good advice, especially if that instruction included the Lord. So if it wasn't for our fathers and our mothers, there's no way we would be here. They're the ones that teach us. They're the ones that sow the seed which is the word of God, and we need to be thankful for that. Let's remember 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountiful. Let's not forget that. The more we sow, the more we will reap. It is my deepest wish that all of us would not sow sparingly, but rather bountifully. Whatever the conditions of our heart is, if we are honest about it, the prescription is there. Break up the hard heart. Allow the word of God to dwell in those deeply who are shallow, to go deeper, to rip out the weeds of the care of this world. We have to read this parable again and again and realize that it is Christ himself who is telling us this, explaining this parable. It is a very rare thing. Christ told about 30 parables, and this is the only one he explained. To you, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest, it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. My prayer is that we are all the ones that understand. In Hebrews 3, verse 15, where it says, where it talks about hardening our hearts, where it says, while it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. If you hear God's voice today, harden not your heart. It is a command. Do not harden your hearts. So the challenge is there for us. It is possible for us as believers to have a tender heart. But then when God speaks to us about issues, to choose not to humble ourselves, but rather harden our hearts, this is not a good place for us to be. And we all know it. There's nobody exempt here, because the Bible declares that God resists the proud, but gives his grace to the humble. James 4, verse 6. And when I read these words, God resists the proud, that reminds me of another author I read about recently. And here it is about an author who had an unusual picture hanging on his office wall. It was a picture of a turtle on top of a fence post. And anybody that knows turtles and fence posts, we're sure that the turtle couldn't climb onto the top of a fence post. And when he was asked, why is that there? He answered, every time I write something significant, excuse me, every time I read my words and think that they are wonderful, I begin to feel proud of myself. I look at the turtle on top of the fence post and remember that he didn't get there on his own. He had help. That is the message of the thankfulness to remember that we got here with the help of God and that he is the provider of every blessing we have. I wish that was part of us. I wish we realized that whatever we have, it's all by the help of God. There's a couple other passages that I want to send with you this morning that might help encouraging you and give you some courage. It says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5, where it says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So if we are wise, we will listen. We will increase our learning. We will always try to go further in the gospel. That is how we will get more seed. That's how we'll be more fruitful. And then Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, where it says, chapter 2, verse 1 to 5, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commands with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yeah, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. Now, if we would search for the word of God, for knowledge, for wisdom, like we would go and look for, dig for silver, then we would receive it. Then we would take a lot of time, and we would spend the time in the Word of God and make sure that we would get it. And my wish and prayer for this summer day, I wish we would all do our best to take some time, go to Scripture on a daily basis, or as often as we can. As we see youth and classes and Bible studies and all those things, they get canceled for summer. But Satan does not stop working. Satan keeps moving on. Satan is trying to tempt us, trying to snatch the word away from us. When I thought of this a couple weeks ago about the same message that I was working on, and I thought, it is sad. So in a way, it's rather sad that we stop Sunday youth In a way, it's sad that we stop Bible study, because that's a good opportune time for Satan to snatch away the word, that it may not, so it will not grow fruit or sprout within our hearts. So with that, one more encouragement, I would ask you to make a serious attempt to go into scriptures and study. With that, let's bow our heads for prayer. Gracious God, we come before your throne of grace, and we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the word that reminds us of the reality that if we are not careful, that the seed could fall on infertile soil. And Lord, we thank you that you keep on spreading the seed and you never, ever give up on us. And Lord, forgive us for the times we denied you. Soften our hearts and draw us closer to you. And Lord, help us not to resist into or serving wherever that might be, that we are willing workers and that we might serve and be a blessing and that it might grow fruit. Lord, bless each and every one of us here today. And as we go home or wherever we go today, I pray that you would give us traveling mercies and help us be a blessing to others as well. We praise this in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. For any other concerns you may have on your hearts, remember you can pray anywhere at any time. Whenever you have a problem, you can go to the Heavenly Father in prayer and ask him for leading and for guidance. And then I want to give you one more opportunity to go on bended knees and pray to the Heavenly Father for whatever is on your heart. And with that, whoever's able, please kneel with me and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us. Amen. Thank you. What a wonderful song. Very good choice of song. Let's remember, Jesus nailed, carried our sins to the cross. With that, I don't have anything further to bring to you this morning besides thank you for your patience and thanks for your understanding and for your participating in this morning's worship service. I want to especially thank the pianist and the organist for playing and the song leaders for doing their part in this service. Also, for the ministerial to my left, Deacon Jay, I thank you for your support. With that, let's bow our heads for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You may go in the peace of the Lord.